This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We are in Austin, Texas, as usual, live and just down the road a piece from Circuit of the Americas.
Over the yonder.
And, man, we have a fantastic show for you tonight. This is John Massengill. I'm in studio with Les Kaiser.
Howdy, howdy.
Jonathan Green is out in California at the Sonoma Festival of Speed. He's actually still on the microphones.
Oh, no! Oh, mayhem!
Yes. Yeah, it could happen.
It's probably mayhem with him on the mics out there. He's out there, and I don't know if he's going to be able to join us or not. I really don't expect him to because he's on the mics till 7:30. So if we're lucky, we'll get Jonathan and hear more about all that, but we'll hear about it next week. But man, we have a great show. We have five-time IndyCar champion Scott Dixon on the show tonight after his win just, I don't know, a couple hours ago at Race 2 in Detroit. So Scott Dixon's going to join us here in about 20 minutes. And, of course, there was a fantastic MotoGP race this morning.
Yeah.
That was one of the best I've ever seen, for sure best of the
season. I'll say the podium was very emotional.
Yeah, yeah, with Danilo Petrucci winning his...
Thank you, Dylan Gray.
I think that's... I forgot his name, the guy that used to do it. Anyway, but I think that's his first MotoGP victory. I mean, it's a really great story. We're going to talk a lot about that. And we're also going... Mr. Les Kaiser is just back from the Monaco Grand Prix for Formula One. He was there. If you missed that show, it was awesome. Les was walking through the paddock, and so we're going to talk a lot about that later in the show.
Lindsey Vonn coming by, American skier. Hey, Lindsey.
Hey, how are you?
Lindsey Vonn more.
Yeah, we'll tell you about all those scenes that didn't necessarily translate to radio, but I'll try to share that. I've had a lot of questions just wanting to hear more about it, so we're going to share that with you.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot of Formula One later in the show because Les, he did such a good job. We're going to send him to Canada, and he's going to go to the Canadian Grand Prix next weekend. And Jonathan, we're going to send him. He's going to just leave Sonoma and just head on up to Chicago because next weekend on Saturday, they're having that Formula One festival in Chicago. So we're going to cover all these things and the MotoGP, IndyCar, all that tonight. So, but let's go ahead and jump right into IndyCar because it was the duel in Detroit, as they say. At Bell Island, that's a really interesting venue there. And so with two races, And let's start with race one. And there was a little rain in the race.
Yeah, started off wet and just went crazy from there. You know, these are public streets. I mean, imagine, if you will, you know, if you've been to Austin and been to Zilker Park, imagine let's throw a race out there on the Zilker Park roads. And that's honestly not much different. You know, you see it Phillips Island, different areas where they'll take a street course and put it through a park. Beautiful scenery. Fantastic race. Started off wet. Lots of jockeying yesterday. It really was a tough race for a lot of the guys. My gosh, there was action from lap one. Lots of banging, spinning, sliding around.
Yeah, it was a great race. But let's run down who won it and talk about this a little bit. Joseph Newgarden, Alexander Rossi won the race. Joseph Newgarden won, of course. And Alexander Rossi second. Takuma Sato, Felix Rosenquist, Ryan Hunter Ray, Simon Pagenaud. Following up his fantastic May with a sixth place there. Then Graham Rahal, Zach Veach, Hinchcliffe, Spencer Pigot, Sebastian Bourdais, Colton Herta, the rookie in 12th, another rookie, Marcus Ericsson in 13th, another rookie in 14th, Pato O'Ward, and then it was Kanaan, Andretti, Chilton Power, Ferrucci, another rookie, Ed Jones, Matthias Liest, and Scott Dixon, because Dixon crashed in race one, and really a little scary. You know, he looked a little rough.
It really did. That was a tough scene just all the way around. There were so many people hitting the wall, so many nose on spins and then nose to nose collisions. There were, it was just everywhere, and it could have been really bad, but you know, I mean, you got to say kudos to a lot of the safety equipment. NBC did a great job of zooming in on some of the retaining cables and equipment around the suspension, really showing off the advancement. 10 years ago, it would have been a very different story.
Yeah, pretty scary. Alexander Rossi continuing to have another great season. And second, Newgarden, you know, champion himself and great race. Takuma Sato, though, you know, he's had a really good you know, he's been up there all season, and I'm going to bring up the standings, current standings, because Takuma Sato had another great race, and, you know, Graham Rahal has had another great race, and had another good race, and looking good all season, but yeah, you know, with the rain, and on Saturday, I kind of like him when you have him on Saturday, and especially when we don't have a Formula One race, and we get to fill in all the blanks because we have two IndyCar races instead.
That's right. That's right. And it's going to continue on a Saturday theme next week. The IndyCar crew is coming to Texas.
Yep. So the standings right now are Newgarden in first, Alexander Rossi, then Simon Pagenaud. Because Pagenaud was leading after the 500. That's right. So it's Newgarden, Rossi, Pagenaud, Dixon, Sato. Yeah, you know, I knew Sato had been doing well all season because he's in fifth place. And those are pretty tight. It's 316, Newgarden, 301, Rossi, Pagenaud, 291, and Dixon, 264, and Takuma Sato, 255. So it's definitely a tight standings for the season right now. So let's also, obviously we've got Scott Dixon coming up here in a minute, but let's talk about race two. And that was a great race, man. There was a ton of action in the race today.
There was, it was all kinds, and it was everywhere. You know, the one that just really stands out to me, Marcus Ericsson.
Yeah.
Winding up on podium. How cool was that? I really, really happy for him.
Do you realize how close he was to winning that race? Because Dixon took the lead with about 50 to 70 on lap 50. But right before that, they had Dixon and Ericsson both pitted right about the same. Dixon pitted first, and then Ericsson pitted right after that. And then so Ericsson had a really great pit stop, and he was about to take off, but there was traffic. So he had to wait for a car to pass by, you know, maybe, I don't know, a couple of seconds. And when he came out, he was tighter than that right behind Dixon. So had the timing of that car in the pits been different, then Ericsson would have probably won this race today.
You know, what about Rossi? Rossi got in a tangle, was a three-car spin.
Yeah.
He managed to keep his running, did a quick Bo Duke spin and got out of there, and managed to save himself quite a few spaces there. So that was amazing to me. Was cool to see him survive all that.
Yeah, what that was, so Hinchcliffe came right out of the pits, and he jumped right behind. He jumped behind. Let's see. Joseph Newgarden was leading, right? And Rossi was leading. Sorry. So he jumped in right behind Rossi, right ahead of Newgarden. So they were all three coming down, you know, and Hitchtown on his cold tires, and Newgarden goes to the inside and spins at the next corner because he had carried too much speed into that corner. He spins, and then they all three kind of pirouette spin at the same time. And then Rossi was able to be – he was kind of at the back of that. So he was able to accelerate out and take off and save his race. And so – but that's what happened. Newgarden was really the one that that caused that.
Just insane. The racing that was going on, little buddy Santino Ferrucci actually had an unobstructed view of the front for a while. That was interesting. That worked out through a pit cycle, so it didn't really get him very far, but it was still great to see him up there in clean air, in, you know, clean running, and he was lapping very well.
He was. He looked good. He was on the harder tires, and I think he made those tires last almost half the race, like 32 laps on those tires. What about the huge wheelie? It was, I don't know, 100-mile-an-hour wheelie by Bourdais.
Yeah, I think he was looking for some traction.
He made contact with Spencer Pigot because it looked like, well, Pigot was about to pit, right?
Yeah,
so he
Pigot
was slowing down.
Came across. And honestly, I kind of put that on both of those drivers. So if you didn't see it, folks, Pigot is coming up. He's approaching the pit in line. He is migrating across track. And that's when Bourdais clips him from behind, goes airborne, as tire-to-tire contact will do in this sport. And it does look like one of those MotoGP wheelies trying to get traction and take them both out. Whose fault was it? Should Pigot have been further over as slow as he was going? I think it probably leans that direction.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I would lean that way. You always hesitate when the guy in the behind crashes into somebody, but I think you're probably right. But what about the way that Bourdais' wing, his front wing, came off and got underneath the right front tire and stayed there, and the right front tire was not moving. And of course, he had to go the entire length
all the way around
of the track with the front wing. So it went up, it flapped up on top of the nose of the car, and then it caught underneath on the right side, running the length of the car right there. So he skidded that front wing all the way around the track.
So we talked about how suspension components are tethered to the vehicle to be safe.
Yeah.
The front wing is also, and that was another view that you saw, that it maintained connectivity to that wing and so that it didn't lose it. But yes, it meant it wound up under the front tire and was stuck there, and he wound up being handicapped by only having one tire that really guided him around the rest of the track.
He was just trying to get around the track at that point.
So, you know, like I said, one more of those safety things would have been a very different result 10 years ago had that wing come off and go back into the rest of the field.
All right. Hey, I want to give out the phone number. We get a lot of calls on our Formula One show. Let's get some calls here in Austin. 512-643-LIVE. 512-643-5483. Give us a call and tell us what you thought of the IndyCar race or the MotoGP race. But we got Scott Dixon here in about 5 minutes. So, yeah, if you want to have a question for him, call in right now. Let's see. What else? Oh, in the IndyCar race, you were talking about possibly going around the track, but what about Felix Rosenqvist? So it was about, I think it was about five, he was the one that caused the red flag at the end. So it was, you know, five laps to go. So he had a brush with the wall, right?
Yes.
And immediately after that, he comes on the radio and says, I broke the car. And you could see the steering wheel as he's turning the wheel, the car is not reacting right. And I'm sure he's thinking, all right, there are only five laps to go. I've got to fight for this. But the car was not functioning at all. And then, of course, he really broke the car because he spun and put the back end of the wall, and that's what caused the red flag.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's hindsight, he should have just brought that car around.
Nursed it home.
You know, something. But yeah, that was what was caused the red flag at the end.
Definitely. How about Colton Herta? I am so proud of this rookie. Yeah. Man, it is so cool to see him out there. He wound up 12th in the second race. Had some tough, you know, passes and some tough competition, but I'm loving seeing this kid this season.
I know. That's probably my favorite story of this season so far, is watching Colton Herta. But yeah, let's talk about the second race before Scott comes on. So Scott Dixon won the race. And like we talked about, Marcus Ericsson, the former Formula One driver. And what about Will Power? Will Power was third in the race, but at one point, he was sitting on the side with a car that didn't work, couldn't get it in gear, and somehow finishes on the podium.
Right, yeah. He went through it. You know, something came over the transmission. He had to essentially reboot the software and got it going. It went into anti-stall because he almost stalled the car again. Didn't seem like he could get anything right. And then, sure enough, he winds up back up front.
Back on the podium, finished third. So after that was Ryan Hunter-Reay in fourth, Alexander Rossi in fifth, Marco Andretti in sixth, and Graeme Rahal seventh, Zach Veitch eighth, Sebastian Bourdais in ninth, and let's see. Oh, here come the rookies. So in 10th, 11th, and 12th. Now, wait a minute. All three of the rookies finished right next to each other in race one and in race two. So it was Ferrucci, Award, and Herta, 10, 11, 12 in race two. And in race one, that's weird. It was Herta. It was different rookies. But anyway, it was Herta, Ericsson, and Award finished 12, 13, 14 in race one. Anyway, so, but yeah, back
to... Okay, but wait a second. You're not far off of that. 12, 13, 14, yes. Herta, Ericsson, Award. Santino is back in 19th. That's a pretty tight grouping of rookies, especially when you look at how many veterans are behind them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That tells me that, you know, stay tuned to this rookie class. They're coming up strong.
All right. Well, I think we better go ahead and take our break because we're supposed to get Scott Dixon here at 7:20. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. You listen to Speed City. We're live in Austin. And back after these messages. Give us a call during the next segment, 512-643-LIVE.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Hey, beer people, it's Christine Sellers.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellers Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellers doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellers White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellers, Austin's original craft brewery.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Austin's Talk 1370.
'Cause you're a natural, I beat it hard as stone. You gotta be so cold to make it this world. Yeah, you're a natural.
Hi, Brendan Hartley. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. I think that is Imagine Dragons, who's going to be here in Austin for the Formula One race, the Friday night concert here in November. All right, well, we've got, we're waiting on Scott Dixon to call in, should be any minute, and we're going to see what he's the winner of today's race in Detroit, the race two Detroit Grand Prix. But I want to talk a little more IndyCar, Les, because, you know, I need to find this story, because not only did Scott Dixon win the race, but he also got not knighted, but some almost equivalent in New Zealand. And we got to ask him about that story, too. So that, he's having a pretty good weekend. I mean, I know he had a rough Saturday because he crashed. And I want to ask him about he had a headache and not feeling good after that. So we'll see what he has to say about all of that.
Alrighty.
As well.
You want to know? Well, it was Queen Elizabeth II on Sunday presented him with the Companion of the New Zealand Order of Merit in recognition for his services to motorsport.
Yeah, not bad, I guess.
Should we bow or curtsy when he comes on now?
I don't know.
I don't know the protocol.
Queen Elizabeth of New Zealand.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. The second. Yeah.
Queen Elizabeth II. Oh, sorry. I do not want to insult.
Now, you've got that accent down.
I do not want to. That's, I don't know what that accent was. It's kind of British, maybe not. I don't know. But
Outlaw British. There you go. New Zealand, Australia, you're in. Hey, I want to talk about the rookie class this year with IndyCars. Rosenquist. He is pulling his weight. And as Jonathan would say, he's pulling up stumps. This guy is killing it. Every time you turn around, he's up in the hunt. You know, occasionally he might be hunted by some of his fellow drivers, but he has been rocking it. Marcus Ericsson, I can't say is necessarily a surprise he's doing so well. He did come out of Formula One, and so, but I'm happy to see him there. Colton Herta is catching me by surprise. By all means, yes, he was fast at COTA during testing. Yes, he's rocked it every time he gets out of there. But honestly, he wasn't a name that was getting a lot of attention before he hit this. And I don't know why. I mean, we followed the threes and fours. Where was he then?
Yeah, good question. Good point.
Pat O'Ward, debatable whether we call him a rookie. I mean, but still, he's...
Well, all of these guys, you know.
Yeah.
Herta is a rookie, for sure.
Santino has done great in the undercard series under the Formula One series. Got some knocks on his head and knuckles. I think he's learned from him and seems to be coming around. I think he's going to do well if he can. I'll say if he continues to mature, I think we're going to see him on a regular basis.
He can leave his phone out of the car?
Yeah, not leave it in his suit. So, yeah, that busted him. And truly, that was a good call for getting busted.
Yeah, well, I'm really anxious to talk to Dixon because, he had... He crashed out of the 24th lap on Saturday, but for today's race, he qualified sixth. He led 44 of the 70 laps, and he, obviously five-time champion, Scott Dixon. And so, I want to hear about his health too, because he, like I mentioned before, he said he was struggling a little bit. He had a headache and some other pain. I want to ask him what that was. But yeah, you know what, Les, you're right. This rookie class in this year's IndyCar has been one of the funnest things, because, like, for example, Colton Herta, talk about a true rookie. He was the youngest rookie ever to win an IndyCar race right here in Austin, right here at the Circuit of the Americas.
What was it? He was going to turn 19 at the end of the year, I think.
No, I think he's already turned 19.
Okay, so he's going to turn, yeah.
He was 18, and he was like 2 weeks away from turning 19 when he won here in Austin. And I've said this on the show before, but I remember going to the testing. I think it was testing. I don't think it was qualifying. I think it was the testing when they came here to Austin.
Yeah.
And he led either every session or almost every session during the testing.
By a healthy margin, too. I know when I was out there, he was definitely leading it. Not what we expected.
Oh, yeah. It was a great surprise.
New track, you know, a couple of guys have been on the track otherwise, but that was just incredible for a rookie to come out and bust out on the scene like that.
Yeah, and we got to interview Colton Herta after the race here in Austin when he, it's funny, we did a post-race show and he came into the booth and we had spent, I don't know, what, about 15 minutes with Colton, and he's a sharp kid, obviously. And, you know, it's funny, we kind of take that for granted with race drivers. It's a little different from your average stick and ball athlete. I don't know, I guess just the mental acuity you have to have in racing, because they all seem to be really sharp guys in racing.
They are. You know, I'll say that, you know, they're very skilled. They're very in tune, eye-hand coordination, all of that. But, you know, I'll say it's changing. You know, we're hearing about three-year-olds in racing carts, and I think that's where it's happening. Whereas before it was, you know, the famous drivers didn't get into whatever they were going to get into until their teenage years. And that 10 years is a big, big change for development.
All right. You say we take it down? All right. Well, we are very excited because we have the winner of today's race two in the Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix, Scott Dixon. Hey, Scott, welcome back to Speed City.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on. It was definitely a fantastic day. Good to talk to you guys.
Well, yeah. We're always excited to hear an IndyCar driver, because that means means you won the race today. So congratulations! And tell us about your weekend. I want to start with Saturday. You had a rougher day. You crashed out, and I know you came into today with, you said, a headache and some other pain. Tell us about that.
Yeah, yesterday was definitely hero to zero, man, in a very quick situation there. But yeah, clipped the inside wall going into the back straight, which, you know, when I broke the suspension, just sent us straight and, you know, head on into the next wall. But, you know, I think the toughest part there is just, you know, I think coming off Indy and the relentless work and effort and weeks that were there to a double header in Detroit, and then we have Texas, you know, it's just super hard on the crew. And, you know, for them to have to repair that car last night, you know, to work through all hours of the night to get it ready for today, you know, this was the only time to, you know, try and get some redemption. So tremendous day for us, you know, it was big, you know, I think points wise too. You know, we were really getting to that almost 100 point mark where we were going to be out of the lead, which it's really hard to kind of salvage and get yourself back into, you know, into the championship chase. So at least we have that today. We're almost, you know, right back in there, and we'll keep our head down and keep trucking off next week at Texas.
Yeah, that's right. You're now sitting fourth with about 50 points behind. So yeah, that shook it up good. That's great. Well, we'll talk about the race today. Before you came on, I was talking about how you and Erickson had both pitted. You pitted right before he did, and he had a great pit stop, but he had to hit a little traffic, and he came out right behind you, and you guys finished up that way. But I think you led, what, 44 laps today?
Yeah, we definitely led a lot of laps. You know, I think strategy was as it always is in Detroit. You know, it gets very interesting. You know, the red tire typically falls off really fast. You know, we had that caution early in the race, and just about the whole field pit. And I was like, oh no, we didn't pit. This is going to, you know, this is going to be disastrous. You know, I think we were sitting fourth or fifth at the time, and, you know, everybody else came in. But it's luckily that first yellow carried on a little ways. It got us to the, you know, the fuel window that we needed to, you know, lap 15 when we actually pitted. You know, we had another caution come out for a crash, which, you know, sort of calmed down, you know, our position, enabled us to get a little more fuel mileage under the caution. And you know, it was still going to be very tight, you know, to try and get to the end of the race. But, you know, we did a fantastic job on the strategy. The whole crew did, and, you know, pit stops were phenomenal. And, of course, you know, in typical, you know, Detroit style, there was, you know, two or three more cautions at the end that we had to hold off, you know, some serious competitors behind.
Well, Scott, I mean, I think it's rather appropriate. I was joking around during the race. This looked more like rugby, so I guess it makes sense you bubbled to the top in that. Leading it three different times through the race, that was just jokers wild with cards everywhere, and you keep on bubbling back to the front. To me, that was amazing in the strategy going on. What besides the fuel window were you really focusing on to get there?
Well, you're kind of, you know, at one point you need the caution, right? You know, I think in our situation when we had to pit for the tires just because they were falling off so quickly, you know, we had to pit. We needed a caution just to, you know, get us to that fuel window. But then also after that, you don't want too much caution because then – you know, the people on the other strategy can, you know, make that work and you know, get them to the finish as well and without you jumping them. So it's that total constant chess game. You know, you're trying to figure out, you know, when, you know, a bad caution could really affect you. And, you know, we kind of get over that hump and we're like, okay, you know, we're in a good window now. This is, you know, we can really make it work. And then we've got to try and stretch, you know, the field behind us so that when we do come out, we don't come out, you know, into a lot of traffic, you know. So it is a, you know, Detroit is very strange, and it's one of the crazy races. You know, being a doubleheader, I think the drivers, you know, all of us kind of drive it a little bit differently, especially if you have a bad day in the first one. You know, you kind of start the next race with a little bit more anger and determination, you know, which definitely goes a long way. But today we were fast, but we had a little bit of luck too, and you got to take it when you can.
Well, seven different leads in the race. You were three of them, so you played it right.
We did as a team, and it was fantastic.
Well, it was a great race overall, too. I mean, I would, like, run in the other room to grab something to eat or whatever, and I was like, what did I miss? Because I hear the commentators start screaming and yelling. And so, yeah, it was a great race. And, you know, Scott, you talk about the strategy and everything. That's what's so great about IndyCar is that you never know who's going to win. Yeah, you led 44 laps, but it wouldn't, you know, if just one or two little things had changed, you never know who's going to win a race, and that's what's so great about IndyCar. But, well, Scott Dixon, I know you're on a short timeline. I know you got to get to talk to a lot of different media. We know you got to run, but we really appreciate you coming on Speed City. And, of course, we'll hope to have you on the show again because that means you won again.
Hopefully next week I'll be talking to you guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, just from up the road. All righty. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks,
guys. Cheers. Have a good night. Cheers.
You too.
You too. Yeah, always fun to have Scott around. You know, these guys, it's good. I value our relationship because you get to know these guys personally, and you really get to pick them out more than a brand or a color or whatever of a car.
Yeah, he's a fun guy. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little MotoGP, a little Formula One, talk about Les's trip to Monaco and the fantastic race in MotoGP. Listen to Speed City. We're live in Austin. Back after these messages.
Grandpa, what do you call this thing again?
It's a 66 Ford Bronco.
I think you got ripped off.
Why is that, honey?
It's got no Wi-Fi, no USB port, no Bluetooth.
Exactly. I guess we'll just have to talk.
Sometimes the best way to connect is to disconnect.
Is that the window button?
It's called a window crank.
Cool. The faster I move it, the faster it goes down.
This moment of escape was created by Hagerty.
Being old is kind of cool, Grandpa.
Works for me.
For people who love cars.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Austin's Talk 1370.
What's up? This is Bilko, freestyle motocross rider with the Nitro Circus, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to the show. If you want to give us a call, 512-643-LIVE, 512-643-5483. Les Kaiser, let's talk about Formula One and your trip to Monaco to the Grand Prix. How awesome was that?
Folks, it is everything you imagined plus a few more dollars. it is truly amazing. Having watched that race for so many years, seeing it in person, you know, yes, it's morphed some, and you know, there's no way a car is going to get off the track through a fence and into the water anymore as they did before. And I think that was 55 that happened. This year marked the 77th running of the Monaco GP. First ran in 1929, but went on hiatus through the war and took a little while to recover and get back into motion there.
And how much of that, I don't know for sure if you know all this, but how much of that is the same circuit, the same exact layout?
Very much of it.
That's what I knew most of it, but was it identical or just close to identical?
It is extremely identical. You've got the chicane in the front straight. You've got the swimming pool there. A couple items like that were thrown in to slow down the speed, plus property development in the area.
Well, dude, we have to talk. People can look up the history.
Yeah.
I want to hear about your trip, your experience, man. I mean, that's just, I mean, I've been to the Monaco Grand Prix, but that was like 20 something years ago.
Yeah. So I, you know, the thing that's amazing is if you go to any other race, there is so much care put into grooming the track, keeping it sanitary, all of that kind of thing. Well, in Monaco, not so much. The gates are thrown open every morning and evening, and it returns to normal traffic about an hour after the race. Cars are driving all over the place and all this kind of thing. So here's an example of what could happen. Friday, I am there, and remember Sutton Images?
The Sutton Boys.
Mark Sutton and I get together over in Casino Square, a great little cafe. If you go, I'm going to give you all the travel tips. Go to Cafe de Paris in Casino Square, get a front row table to the driveway, and just sit there and watch the world drive by, walk by. I saw Checo walk by, hollered at Romain going by. I saw quite a few drivers passing through, amazing cars and everything. So as if that wasn't cool enough, Mark Sutton, the ever-ready professional photographer he is, he's walking back to his place, and he walks through the tunnel. It's open. He's walking through, and he says he hears this motor, just wicked sounding motor. He wheels around with his camera and just rattles off a rip of quick shots, capturing Lewis Hamilton in his Lazonda LH.
Oh, wow.
Ripping down through it. And this is, you know, not late, but it's after dark Friday night. And, you know, it was something else. And if you heard our grid talk with Will Buxton last weekend, that's what I was alluding to, that apparently Lewis was getting some late night practice in as he made a pass through the tunnel into the Zonda. But, things like that are everywhere. There are, you know, one of one Ferraris cruising around at the casino. There are amazing cars of every kind. The new Dall'Alara street car was there. Crazy. Amazing.
So do they have the LaFerrari parking only parking lot?
Just about. There was a LaFerrari behind the grandstand. The yachts. We all see that yacht harbor. I heard a metric, if you will, that just blew me away. You know, everything add 10 zeros to. For GP weekend, to park your little yacht there, 100,000 euros per meter to park for the weekend. Yeah, you think they've got parking meters there? But it is something else. Things that are different about that, you know, visually gorgeous. They are running drivers back and forth through the harbor because it's faster to get places by using the harbor and delivering them someplace shoreline instead of streetwise.
Wow. Well, so, let's talk about some of your grid walks. I know you got to team up with Will Buxton. Now, I know you actually walked through the grid, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to play a couple of those clips. You basically did what we see Will Buxton and all the guys always do over the years, you know, through the grid, seeing who's out, running around. But how did you do the grid with Will? Was that just in the paddock?
Will and I were talking, and, you know, he said, hey, anything you want Formula One is now behind Speed City, and how can I help you? And I said, you know, Will, we truly miss your grid walks. You know, that was a great capsule for somebody that tuned in just before the race, get a quick snapshot of all the story that's going on, and then watch the race. Kind of gives you an abbreviated thing. And he goes, yeah, I do too. And I said, well, we do grid talk. And I said, it's kind of the same thing. And I said, but over the radio waves. And I said, I'd be honored if you'd join me. And he goes, I would absolutely love to. Look, we got to do it this morning. Can you record it right now in the paddock?
Yeah, said, but that was certainly. Like 20 minutes before the race.
Yeah, it was before, you know, the formation lap, before all warm-up. So we're in the paddock, and we grabbed the quality sheet out of the media center, and we just sat there and knocked out that recording, and it was great. I don't care what anybody says. That is a skill that Will has. And to be honest, it's greatly missed. And I'm very honored to work with Will in that capacity. Something I've admired that feature of his.
Yeah. Well, I know that you did the grid walk, and we heard the clip while ago of Lindsey Vonn. I know we were laughing because we could tell that you were stumbling because was visually striking. Tell us about that.
Okay. So, you know, not only motorsports for me, but I love snow skiing. And I mean freestyle, moguls, big slalom. All of it. I am all over that for the winter sports. And having three daughters, we have watched Lindsey Vonn, the American girl. She's coming up. We're cheering Lindsey Vonn, all this. We've seen the broken leg episodes. We've seen all of that go on, the knee replacement, you know, knee surgeries. So I am walking through the grid. And, you know, we've seen the biography and everything of Lindsey Vonn with. And all of a sudden, she's like 3 feet right in front of me, smiling at me. I was a bit shocked.
Isn't she like almost 6 feet tall?
She was taller than I am. I think she had some heels, but yeah, she's definitely taller than I am. It was just like, American skier, Lindsey Vonn.
Lindsey Vonn coming by, American skier. Hey, Lindsey.
Hey, how are you?
That's great.
So
she didn't say your name.
Creep. I think is how it would have been pronounced.
Yeah, but, what other celebrities?
I'll say, you know, there were lots of European football/soccer players all over. Some pop stars. I believe I saw a couple of the Spice Girls there. Just quite a few. Folks like that around. As I was standing in the paddock, right, I know y'all played the Brandon Hartley interview last week, but as I was standing there, I look up and, you know, I'm just scanning the paddock. It was actually right before Will and I were going to meet, and Paolo Cipatti of Ducati MotoGP team comes walking by just directly in front of him. I was like, hey, dude, aren't you lost? And he turned, and it was, you know, big Italian hug and everything, and it was really cool. And, you know, the connection, why was he there besides loving motorsports? Well, that Mission Winnow is a sponsor not only of Ducati, but also the Ferrari team.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's got that connection. He was visiting the Ferrari counterparts there, having a great time. But really was fantastic visit in the paddock. As a spectator, I had the opportunity, I stepped away from duty for a little bit, but don't tell my boss. And I was offered a chance to stand on a balcony above one of the turns, Raskas. And that was fantastic to watch the race right there in that kind of position.
Is that where you did the post-race show?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
where we had you on for that. Yeah.
Kate Walker joined me for the post-race. The imagery that you see there is nothing short of phenomenal, especially if you've followed that Grand Prix for very long.
Yeah.
And budget-wise, I hesitate to say what that budget was.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said, it was 25 years ago or whenever I did that, or at least 20. And the same experience walking through the tunnel after the race, going, they were just here, you know. Well, less than an hour ago, and here I am walking through. It's really amazing.
Exactly. If you go there, by all means, you can get an Airbnb kind of hook up somewhere in the area. I stayed in Nice, dependent on the train. Beware, train strikes are common, so keep an extra $200 in your pocket in case you have to get another ride back and the train doesn't run.
Well, what I love about all of this is the fact that the way you said that, I mean, we started getting the emails from Formula One and the way they just rolled out the red carpet for you because they want the American exposure. You know, we do a national pre and post Formula One show. I just go to our website to find out where you can hear that. But so they were rolling out the red carpet because they want this to grow in the American market, which is exactly why they're doing the festival in Chicago next weekend.
And exactly. And, you know, I, you know, as Speed City, I met with every team except one. And that was just timing, the way it worked out. But was welcomed in. You're going to hear more information, more content coming directly from the teams to Speed City.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So
we started that with Gunther Steiner, and we've done it over the years. You know, we've had Lewis Hamilton on the show. We've had tons of drivers over the years. But this year, we're going to start getting some more drivers on the phone. So, but yeah, let's. I do want to play this one clip.
All right. Because, so let me lead up because I know what's coming. So, so on the grid, this is a mash of people. People are darting back and forth. You've got mechanics trying to do things, spectators in the way of mechanics.
Moments before the race.
Yeah, and we're coming down to the last moment. At the moment, right before you know, I have this episode, I am standing on grid right in front of the Royal Box where you see Prince Albert standing, things like that. And they use it as the podium, actually. So it's a scene that... If you've watched this race, you have seen that spot. And I was just there, just kind of taking it in, getting my breath for a minute.
With an incredible bustle all around you. People just going every direction.
Cars still rolling in and dodging in and walking by. And I just spoke to Gene Haas and I said, hey, I will, you know, I may come back and stop by you. And Gene's always great. Yes, American Canadian audience, he loves it. And so anyway, so I'm headed towards Gene kind of slowly and... right then, Gunther steps right in front of me.
Gunther Steiner.
Yeah, Gunther Steiner steps right in front of me and stops. It's like he was just going to stop and watch his own team, and he steps in front of me, and so that that
Gene,
leads to this.
Last minute, what are your thoughts? I'm not Gene, I'm Gunther.
I'm not Gene, I'm Gunther.
Like I didn't know the difference. Notice the difference. But
we've got, by the way, we have that entire, we got that whole show up on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, and also on iTunes and everywhere else, all the, where you listen to your podcasts, so if you want to hear that.
You bet. You know, I hope that conveyed the excitement of the environment. It was really amazing. Anybody and everybody, you know, of racing goes to Monaco.
Yeah. Well, I want to hear the story. So you watch the race. You're up on the balcony watching the race. You do the post-race show with us. And then you go to the bar, one of the local pubs or whatever, to watch what? The Indy 500, right?
Yeah. So Stars and Bars is an American-themed restaurant, pub, there in the marina. And apparently it's tradition for a lot of the folks to go there. And what's interesting is that gives them enough time. They finish up the Monaco GP duties and, you know, do their articles, scripts, and shows as we did. And they pick up in the media center. And basically, there's a congregation that meets annually in that Stars and Bars to watch the Indy 500.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I go walking in, and Kate Walker had invited me to come. She goes, there's people there you need to meet. I feel, okay, sure, here we go. So I go in, and they're introducing one of them, and Sam, I'm sorry, I forget your last name, but Sam is like, ah, great, first a Canadian and now a Texan in here. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be fun. I'm like, really, who's the Canadian? And I hear this yell from the other side of me, wait, who's the Texan? And I look back, Jacques Villeneuve. Sitting there. So Jacques and I teamed up to be allies for the evening.
So I'm picturing this, you two guys arm in arm, beers, giant beers in hand, singing and dancing, but
he had wine.
Of course he did. Oh, that is Jacques Villeneuve. That
but it was
is
cool
awesome.
Because that's what it was like. And you know, if you can ever make it to Monaco, even if you can only make it there for the Saturday, make a point of going. You know, I get it. Tickets are in crazy priced. Beware, pay attention, and make sure and pay attention specifically if that Friday is a national holiday for Monaco. If it is, nothing happens on Friday. Just beware.
Yeah.
And so in this case, they had some practices on Thursday. So that's
well,
what
they
that
always
leads up
well
to.
They always do. They always do that every year for Monaco, you know.
Right.
Friday is, they don't have practice on Friday, so.
So yeah, be aware of it, and but absolutely bucket list checked.
Yeah. Wow. Well, okay. So next up, we're going to send you to Canada.
Eh?
You're practicing your A's and your...
I'll get my luggage from the boot.
Yeah. Yeah, so now that you know how to do it all, we're going to expect you to get tons of interviews on the gridwalk in Canada.
Yeah, you bet. And, being in Canada, I'll definitely check in with Lance Stroll, and we'll see how things are shaping up for that team, if they're settling in. Some folks said, even though they feel like it is the same team, there's enough head changes on that team that they think things are shook up, and maybe some folks aren't as confident. One other item that I've been following, Williams. Everybody keeps looking at Williams, fighting for who's going to be last amongst their own teammates. And, I found some interesting stats. The stat that was used was deficit to pole. And that is how far off of pole position were they? Comparing last year to this year, they have...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Austin's Talk 1370.
What's up? This is Bilko, freestyle motocross rider with the Nitro Circus, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to the show. If you want to give us a call, 512-643-LIVE, 512-643-5483. Les Kaiser, let's talk about Formula One and your trip to Monaco to the Grand Prix. How awesome was that?
Folks, it is everything you imagined plus a few more dollars. it is truly amazing. Having watched that race for so many years, seeing it in person, yes, it's morphed some, and there's no way a car is going to get off the track through a fence and into the water anymore as they did before. And I think that was 55 that happened. This year marked the 77th running of the Monaco GP. First ran in 1929, but went on hiatus through the war and took a little while to recover and get back into motion there.
And how much of that, I don't know for sure if you know all this, but how much of that is the same circuit, the same exact layout?
Very much of it.
That's what I knew most of it, but was it identical or just close to identical?
It is extremely identical. You've got the chicane in the front straight. You've got the swimming pool there. A couple items like that were thrown in to slow down the speed, plus property development in the area.
Well, dude, we have to talk. People can look up the history.
Yeah.
I want to hear about your trip, your experience, man. I mean, that's just, I mean, I've been to the Monaco Grand Prix, but that was like 20 something years ago.
Yeah. So the thing that's amazing is if you go to any other race, there is so much care put into grooming the track, keeping it sanitary, all of that kind of thing. Well, in Monaco, not so much. The gates are thrown open every morning and evening, and it returns to normal traffic about an hour after the race. Cars are driving all over the place and all this kind of thing. So here's an example of what could happen. Friday, I am there, and remember Sutton Images?
The Sutton Boys.
Mark Sutton and I get together over in Casino Square, a great little cafe. If you go, I'm going to give you all the travel tips. Go to Cafe de Paris in Casino Square, get a front row table to the driveway, and just sit there and watch the world drive by, walk by. I saw Checo walk by, hollered at Romain going by. I saw quite a few drivers passing through, amazing cars and everything. So as if that wasn't cool enough, Mark Sutton, the ever-ready professional photographer he is, he's walking back to his place and he walks through the tunnel. It's open. He's walking through and he says he hears this motor, just wicked sounding motor. He wheels around with his camera and just rattles off a rip of quick shots, capturing Lewis Hamilton in his Lazonda LH.
Oh, wow.
Ripping down through it. And this is, you know, not late, but it's after dark Friday night. And, it was something else. And if you heard our grid talk with Will Buxton last weekend, that's what I was alluding to, that apparently Lewis was getting some late night practice in as he made a pass through the tunnel into the Zonda. But things like that are everywhere. There are, one of one Ferraris cruising around at the casino. There are amazing cars of every kind. The new Dall'Alara street car was there. Crazy. Amazing.
So do they have the LaFerrari parking only parking lot?
Just about. There was a LaFerrari behind the grandstand. The yachts. We all see that yacht harbor. I heard a metric, if you will, that just blew me away. You know, everything add 10 zeros to. For GP weekend, to park your little yacht there, 100,000 euros per meter to park for the weekend. Yeah, you think they've got parking meters there? But it is something else. Things that are different about that, visually gorgeous. They are running drivers back and forth through the harbor because it's faster to get places by using the harbor and delivering them someplace shoreline instead of streetwise.
Wow. Well, let's talk about some of your grid walks. I know you got to team up with Will Buxton. Now, I know you actually walked through the grid, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to play a couple of those clips. You basically did what we see Will Buxton and all the guys always do over the years, you know, through the grid, seeing who's out, running around. But how did you do the grid with Will? Was that just in the paddock? Or?
Yeah, Will and I were talking, and, you know, he said, hey, anything you want. Formula One is now behind Speed City, and how can I help you? And I said, you know, Will, we truly miss your grid walks. You know, that was a great capsule for somebody that tuned in just before the race, get a quick snapshot of all the story that's going on, and then watch the race. Kind of gives you an abbreviated thing. And he goes, yeah, I do too. And I said, well, we do grid talk. And I said, it's kind of the same thing. And I said, but over the radio waves. And I said, I'd be honored if you'd join me. And he goes, I would absolutely love to. Look, we got to do it this morning. Can you record it right now in the paddock?
Yeah, said, but that was certainly. Like 20 minutes before the race.
Yeah, it was before, you know, the formation lap, before all warm-up. So we're in the paddock, and we grabbed the quality sheet out of the media center, and we just sat there and knocked out that recording, and it was great. I don't care what anybody says. That is a skill that Will has, And to be honest, it's greatly missed. And very honored to work with Will in that capacity. Something I've admired that feature of his.
Yeah. Well, I know that you did the grid walk, and we heard the clip while ago of Lindsey Vonn. I know we were laughing because we could tell that you were stumbling because she's was visually striking. Tell us about that.
Okay, so, you know, not only motorsports for me, but I love snow skiing. And I mean freestyle, moguls, big slalom, all of it. I am all over that for the winter sports. And having three daughters, we have watched Lindsey Vonn, the American girl. She's coming up. We're cheering Lindsey Vonn, all this. We've seen the broken leg episodes. We've seen all of that go on, the knee replacement, you know, knee surgeries. So I am walking through the grid. And, you know, we've seen the biography and everything of Lindsey Vonn. And all of a sudden, she's like 3 feet right in front of me, smiling at me. I was a bit shocked.
Isn't she like almost 6 feet tall?
She was taller than I am. I think she had some heels. But yeah, she's definitely taller than I am. It was just like, American skier, Lindsey Vonn.
Lindsey Vonn coming by, American skier. Hey, Lindsey.
Hey, how are you?
That's great.
So
she didn't say your name. Yeah.
Creep, I think is how it would have been pronounced.
Yeah, but, what other celebrities?
I'll say, you know, there were lots of European football / soccer players all over, some pop stars. I believe I saw a couple of the Spice Girls there. Just quite a few folks like that around. As I was standing in the paddock, right, I know y'all played the Brandon Hartley interview last week, but as I was standing there, I look up and, you know, I'm just scanning the paddock. It was actually right before Will and I were going to meet, and Paolo Cipatti of Ducati MotoGP team comes walking by just directly in front of him. I was like, hey, dude, aren't you lost? And he turned, and it was, you know, big Italian hug and everything, and it was really cool. And, you know, the connection, why was he there besides loving motorsports? Well, that Mission Winnow is a sponsor not only of Ducati, but also the Ferrari team.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's got that connection. He was visiting the Ferrari counterparts there, having a great time. But really was fantastic visit in the paddock. As a spectator, I had the opportunity, I stepped away from duty for a little bit, but don't tell my boss. And I was offered a chance to stand on a balcony above one of the turns, Raskas. And that was fantastic to watch the race right there in that kind of position.
Is that where you did the post-race show?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
where we had you on for that. Yeah.
Kate Walker joined me for the post-race. The imagery that you see there is nothing short of phenomenal, especially if you've followed that Grand Prix for very long.
Yeah.
And budget-wise, I hesitate to say what that budget was.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like I said, it was 25 years ago or whenever I did that, or at least 20. And the same experience walking through the tunnel after the race, going, they were just here, you know. Less than an hour ago, and here I am walking through. It's really amazing.
Exactly. If you go there, by all means, you can get an Airbnb kind of hook up somewhere in the area. I stayed in Nice, dependent on the train. Beware, train strikes are common, so keep an extra $200 in your pocket in case you have to get another ride back and the train doesn't run.
Well, what I love about all of this is the fact that the way you said that, I mean, we started getting the emails from Formula One and the way they just rolled out the red carpet for you because they want the American exposure. You know, we do a national pre and post Formula One show. I just go to our website to find out where you can hear that. But they were rolling out the red carpet because they want this to grow in the American market, which is exactly why they're doing the festival in Chicago next weekend.
Exactly. And, you know, you know, as Speed City, I met with every team except one, and that was just timing, the way it worked out, but was welcomed in. You're going to hear more information, more content coming directly from the teams to Speed City.
Yeah.
And so...
we started that with Gunther Steiner, and we've done it over the years. You know, we've had Lewis Hamilton on the show. We've had tons of drivers over the years, but this year we're going to start getting some more drivers on the phone. So, but let's. I do want to play this one clip.
All right, so let me lead up because I know what's coming. So, so on the grid, this is a mash of people. People are darting back and forth. You've got mechanics trying to do things, spectators in the way of mechanics.
Moments before the race,
yeah, and we're coming down to the last moment. At the moment, right before you know, I have this episode. I am standing on grid right in front of the royal box where you see Prince Albert standing, things like that. And they use it as the podium, actually. So it's a scene that if you've watched this race, you have seen that spot. And I was just there, just kind of taking it in, getting my breath for a minute.
With an incredible bustle all around you. People just right. going every direction.
Cars yeah. still rolling in yeah. and dodging in and walking by. And I just spoke to Gene Haas and I said, hey, I will, you know, I may come back and stop by you. And Gene's always great. Yes. American Canadian audience. He loves it. And so, anyway, so I'm headed towards Gene kind of slowly and, right then, Gunther steps right in front of me.
Gunther Steiner.
Yeah, Gunther Steiner steps right in front of me and stops. It's like he was just going to stop and watch his own team, and he steps in front of me, and so that
Gene,
leads to this.
Last minute, what are your thoughts? No, I'm not Gene. I'm Gunther.
I'm not Gene. I'm Gunther.
Like I didn't know the difference. Notice the difference. But
we've got. By the way, we have that entire. We got that whole show up on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, and also on iTunes and everywhere else. All the wherever you listen to your podcasts. So if you want to hear that,
you bet. You know, I hope that conveyed the excitement of the environment. It was really amazing. Anybody and everybody, you know, of racing goes to Monaco.
Yeah. Well, I want to hear the story. So you watch the race. You're up on the balcony watching the race. You do the post-race show with us. And then you go to the bar, one of the local pubs or whatever, to watch what, the Indy 500, right?
Yeah. So Stars and Bars is an American-themed restaurant, pub, there in the marina. And apparently it's tradition for a lot of the folks to go there. And what's interesting is that gives them enough time. They finish up the Monaco GP duties and, you know, do their articles, scripts, and shows as we did. And they pick up in the media center. And basically, there's a congregation that meets annually in that Stars and Bars to watch the Indy 500.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I go walking in, and Kate Walker had invited me to come. She goes, there's people there you need to meet. I feel, okay, sure, here we go. So I go in, and they're introducing one of them, and Sam, I'm sorry, I forget your last name, but Sam is like, ah, great, first a Canadian and now a Texan in here. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be fun. I'm like, really, who's the Canadian? And I hear this yell from the other side of me, wait, who's the Texan? And I look back, Jacques Villeneuve. Sitting there, so Jacques and I teamed up to be allies for the evening.
So I'm picturing this: you two guys, arm in arm, beers, giant beers in hand, singing and dancing. But
he had wine.
Of course, he did. Oh, that is Jacques Villeneuve. That
but it was
is
cool
awesome.
Because that's what it was like. And you know, if you can ever make it to Monaco, even if you can only make it there for the Saturday. Make a point of going. You know, I get it. Tickets are in crazy priced. Beware, pay attention, and make sure and pay attention specifically if that Friday is a national holiday for Monaco. If it is, nothing happens on Friday. Just beware.
Yeah.
And so in this case, they had some practices on Thursday. So that's
yeah. Well,
what
they
that
always
leads up to.
They always do. They always do that every year for Monaco. You know,
right?
Friday is they don't have practice on Friday. So
yeah, be aware of it. And but absolutely, bucket list checked.
Yeah. Wow. Well, okay. So next up, we're going to send you to Canada.
A.
You're practicing your A's and your.
I'll get my luggage from the boot.
Yeah. Yeah, so now that you know how to do it all, we're going to expect you to get tons of interviews on the gridwalk in Canada.
Yeah, you bet. And, you know, being in Canada, I'll definitely check in with Lance Stroll, and we'll see how things are shaping up for that team, if they're settling in. Some folks said, even though they feel like it is the same team, there's enough head changes on that team that they think things are shook up, and maybe some folks aren't as confident. One other item that I've been following, Williams. Everybody keeps looking at Williams, fighting for who's going to be last amongst their own teammates. And, you know, I found some interesting stats. The stat that was used was deficit to pole. And that is how far off of pole position were they? Comparing last year to this year, they have improved. They are tighter and closer to the pole sitter. Hmm. And so, you know, as painful as it seems.
The whole field has done that.
Yeah, as painful as it seems for Williams, as we worry about their budgets, as we worry about are they going to be here next year, they've actually improved, even though it doesn't feel like it when you look at the points.
Yeah. I mean, it's just been so sad for them. But a couple other Formula One stories. Did you see there was a story about the F1 United States audience figures increase? And, you know, we thinking ESPN, because I'm just going to read this story. It's actually on motorsportbroadcasting.com. And ESPN reporting double-digit growth year on year. First five races, not including Monaco, have averaged 564,000 viewers on ESPN compared to 442,000 last year. And ESPN also touted the strong growth in the coveted 18 to 34 demographic with 100% growth year on year. So that's great news. I was at just a kind of a neighborhood gathering last night, and this friend of mine he's really not into motorsport that much. But he said, he walked up, he goes, "I've watched every one of the Netflix episodes now." Because I saw him a week ago and he was
the one
only
we got cut out of. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Including the one we did not, that we left, were left on the floor in Austin.
But, yeah.
But yeah. So I'm really hoping that all of these things are good signs for Formula One in the United States. But I thought that was pretty cool.
Absolutely. I think it is a good sign. I think there's not only interest amongst the American population, but I think we're starting to see more companies be interested. Porsche specifically is who I think of.
Man, if Porsche gets involved in Formula One, that's when we're going to get Jerry Seinfeld on.
You think?
Well, you said you knew all his buddies, so there you go. All right, well, guys, we got to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the MotoGP race this morning. A fantastic race, best of the season for sure. So stick with us. You listen to Speed City. We're live in Austin. Back after these.
Hey, beer people, it's Christine Sellis.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellis Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellis doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellis White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellis, Austin's original craft brewery.
When we see a beautiful car pass by, we always seem to use a hand signal. The classic thumbs up, the point and shoot six gun finger, the hang loose thumb and pinky combo. If you've ever flashed one of those, now there's a car club for you. Introducing the Hagerty Drivers Club with exclusive members only events, insight on buying and selling, the Hagerty Magazine, and roadside service. The Hagerty Drivers Club gives you a big thumbs up. So keep flashing those fingers.
Same to you.
Just not that one. Join the Hagerty Drivers Club at Hagerty.com today.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Doctor, doctor, won't you please prescribe me something? A day in the life of someone else, because I'm a hazard to myself.
Hi, this is Michael Zweiback, driver of the number 2 discount tire Porsche. Welcome to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to the show. We said we're going to talk MotoGP, and I'm about to, but I want to just touch on, we're talking about the Ferraris. Did you see the new Ferrari, the Stradale, was announced?
Oh, nice.
So it's essentially the successor to the LaFerrari because it is another hybrid and with more electrics. You got 3 electric motors, 968 horsepower.
What's the third motor for? Busted.
Yeah.
We'll leave that.
Yeah,
for the after
we'll figure all that out. But yeah, it was a gorgeous looking car though. But the big difference is that it will go, I think, 15 miles. This is out of memory. I read the story on Friday. But I think it'll go 15 miles on electric power alone, which the LaFerrari, it's more of the hybrid where it's you can't use electric only, if I'm not mistaken. I've been saving up, but I haven't quite accumulated enough to buy a LaFerrari yet. Or whatever million plus or whatever.
Going to take more than a cash register full.
Hey, before we go into MotoGP, let's talk motorcycles because I want to talk about our local sponsor, Ducati Austin. Man, their timing has been fantastic lately because the Ducati team and MotoGP team is kicking butt. Well, they had a something that happened about 3 or 4 weeks ago, where they purchased the San Antonio Ducati dealership, and so they now own Austin and San Antonio Ducati.
And that's fantastic, because I know that they had quite a few customers coming from San Antonio and even across the border in Mexico to Austin because of the reputation this shop had.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're going to be able to grow it and move the same reputation to San Antonio, so those people don't have to drive past San Antonio to get here. But kudos to those guys. Vito and Mark have a great team. Josh and all the crowd there really do take care of their customers.
They are one of the biggest Ducati dealers in the country. I think they're the largest in their region. And, you know, what's really amazing about, they've been a sponsor for a long time. They're not paying for this, right now.
This is just bragging on them. We know them.
But those guys you wouldn't know it because they're so nice. And you think, they're just super nice guys. But Vito runs that shop. You know, he's the day-to-day. And Mark, they're both really sharp guys. And Kathy and all the guys that work in the mechanics and everything. It's really, they do a fantastic job. And I remember talking to them when COTA was announced. And I was going, you guys are the Ducati dealer and the home of, you know, the MotoGP Grand Prix here. At that point, there were two others. There was Indianapolis, and there was Laguna Seca, I believe is where they were at the time.
That was WSBK, but yeah. Well, actually, it was paired, but go ahead.
Yeah, anyway, but the bottom line, I said, man, you guys are poised to do great things, and now the shop here in Austin has grown nice and steady with a great reputation, and now they have San Antonio. That's awesome. So we were hoping to get them on the show, but they're both traveling. I think.
Well, you know what? We're going to get them on because we've got to talk about somebody that they are sponsoring and the project they're sponsoring. The Pikes Peak International Hill Climb takes place June 30th this year. Race to the Clouds, and that is from Manitou Springs to the peak, and
we'll get them on to talk. Yeah,
crazy, but Ducati Austin is behind an entry there, and so definitely gonna have to check it out.
All right, well, let's talk MotoGP. We just got about 3 or 4 minutes left in the show, so unbelievable race today. I mean,
emotional,
really emotional, but all the way through the race. I mean, it was really amazing, and probably the most amazing thing was the winner, because Danilo Petrucci won. Italian in Italy at Mugello, riding on the Ducati team, his first win ever. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I heard the commentator saying, I don't remember this, but I mean, we've seen Danilo Petrucci's name for years, but he was considering retirement not long ago.
Yeah,
he didn't have success.
He has kind of been in the shadow of Jack Miller on the team. And so, you know, there's been question, and some folks have, you know, speculated that he was going to retire instead of being fired or just not rehired, new signed. And, I think he earned his stripes today.
Saved his spot on the team.
Yeah.
It's funny that because you say that, he won the race and Miller crashed out.
Miller was, what, second or third here at COTA this year?
I think he was in fifth today when he crashed.
So he's got his spots too, but hopefully that gets Petrucci out of his limbo situation for this. Ducati showed great with the first and third. Jack Miller crashing out 8 laps to go. Petrucci wound up to lead the last portion of the race, and the heartbreak that Rossi crashed out as well mid-race.
Yeah.
And he
did
it on his own, so you couldn't even really say, you know, he got kicked by another rider or whatever the case is. It was
Marquez was nowhere near him.
Yeah. Quartararo had a fantastic qualifying session. I'm keeping an eye on him because he seems to be collecting himself and doing much better. So I'm glad to see that going. Petrucci and Dovi, just the battle back and forth. And then Marquez pretty much just looked on and then ultimately pounced on Dovi to slide past him.
Let's talk about that last lap, because when they got to the last lap, it was Petrucci and Dovizioso were battling, and then they got to the last lap, and immediately Mark Marquez does what he does, and he dove in, and I thought, oh no, is he going to win this race after they've been winning, leading the whole race? But so he jumped in, got ahead of all of them for a minute, and then Petrucci got ahead of him, and then Marquez. So it was Petrucci, Marquez, Dovizioso. And then I look up and Alex Rins is right there. So the entire last lap, all four of those guys, including Alex Rins, were within, you know, they were all right next to each other for the entire lap. And then I thought Rins was going to pass Dovizioso. And then at one point it looked like Dovizioso was going to pass Marquez. So if you did not see it, if nothing else, just go. I'm sure MotoGP will have that last lap where you can watch that for free if you don't have the MotoGP app, which is fantastic, by the way. It's really amazing. But it was an incredible race. And I wish we had budgeted our time a little better. We're talking more, but we got to run. Thanks for everybody for tuning in. Thanks to Scott Dixon for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Check us out on our website. Tune in to our next weekend show for Formula One, and we'll talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all. Hey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi, this is Michael Zweiback, driver of the number 2 discount tire Porsche. Welcome to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to the show. We said we're going to talk MotoGP, and I'm about to, but I want to just touch on, we're talking about the Ferraris. Did you see the new Ferrari, the Stradale, was announced?
Oh, nice.
So it's essentially the successor to the LaFerrari because it is another hybrid. And with more electrics, you got 3 electric motors, 968 horsepower.
What's the third motor for? Busted.
Yeah.
We'll leave that.
Yeah,
for the
we'll figure all that out. But yeah, another. It was a gorgeous looking car, though. But the big difference is that it will go, I think, 15 miles. This is out of memory. I read the story on Friday. but I think it'll go 15 miles on electric power alone, which the LaFerrari, it's more of the hybrid where it's you can't use electric only, if I'm not mistaken. I've been saving up, but I haven't quite accumulated enough to buy a LaFerrari yet. Or whatever million plus or whatever.
Going to take more than a cash register full.
Hey, before we go into MotoGP, let's talk motorcycles, because I want to talk about our local sponsor, Ducati Austin. Man, their timing has been fantastic lately, because the Ducati team and MotoGP team is kicking butt. Well, they had something that happened about 3 or 4 weeks ago, where they purchased the San Antonio Ducati dealership, and so they now own Austin and San Antonio Ducati.
And that's fantastic, because I know that they had quite a few customers coming from San Antonio and even across the border in Mexico to Austin because of the reputation this shop had.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're going to be able to grow it and move the same reputation to San Antonio, so those people don't have to drive past San Antonio to get here. But, kudos to those guys. Vito and Mark have a great team. Josh and all the crowd there really do take care of their customers.
They are one of the biggest Ducati dealers in the country. I think they're the largest in their region. And, what's really amazing about, they've been a sponsor for a long time. They're not paying for this, right now.
This is just bragging on them. We know them.
But those guys you wouldn't know it because they're so nice. And you think they're just super nice guys. But Vito runs that shop. He's the day-to-day. And Mark, they're both really sharp guys. And Kathy and all the guys that work in the mechanics and everything. They do a fantastic job. And I remember talking to them when COTA was announced. And I was going, you guys are the Ducati dealer and the home of, the MotoGP Grand Prix here. And at that point, there were two others. There was Indianapolis, and there was Laguna Seca, I believe is where they were at the time.
That was WSBK, but yeah. Well, actually, it was paired, but again, go ahead.
Yeah, anyway, but the bottom line, I said, man, you guys are poised to do great things, and now the shop here in Austin has grown nice and steady with a great reputation, and now they have San Antonio. That's awesome. So we were hoping to get them on the show, but they're both traveling. I think.
Well,
what?
We're going to get them on, because we've got to talk about somebody that they are sponsoring and the project they're sponsoring. The Pikes Peak International Hill Climb takes place June 30th this year. Race to the Clouds, and that is from Manitou Springs to the peak. And
we'll get them on to talk. Yeah,
crazy, but Ducati Austin is behind an entry there, and so definitely gonna have to check it out.
All right, well, let's talk MotoGP. We just got about 3 or 4 minutes left in the show, so unbelievable race today. I mean,
emotional,
really, emotional, but all the way through the race. I mean, it was really amazing, and probably the most amazing thing was the winner, because Danilo Petrucci won. Italian in Italy at Mugello, riding on the Ducati team, his first win ever. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I heard the commentator saying, I don't remember this, but I mean, we've seen Danilo Petrucci's name for years, but he was considering retirement not long ago.
Yeah,
he didn't have success.
He has kind of been in the shadow of Jack Miller on the team. And so, there's been question, and some folks have, speculated that he was going to retire instead of being fired or just not rehired, new signed. And, I think he earned his stripes today.
Saved a spot on the team.
Yeah.
It's funny that, because you say that, he won the race and Miller crashed out.
Miller was what, second or third here at COTA this year?
I think he crashed.
So he's got his spots too, but hopefully that gets Petrucci out of his limbo situation for this. Ducati showed great with the first and third. Jack Miller crashing out 8 laps to go. Petrucci wound up to lead the last portion of the race, and the heartbreak that Rossi crashed out as well mid-race.
Yeah.
And he
did
it on his own, so you couldn't even really say, he got kicked by another rider or whatever the case is. It was
Marquez was nowhere near him.
Yeah. Quartararo had a fantastic qualifying session. I'm keeping an eye on him because he seems to be collecting himself and doing much better. So I'm glad to see that going. Petrucci and Dovi Gosh, just the battle back and forth. And then Marquez pretty much just looked on and then ultimately pounced on Dovi to slide it past him.
Let's talk about that last lap, because when they got to the last lap, it was Petrucci and Dovizioso were battling, and then they got to the last lap, and immediately Marc Marquez does what he does, and he dove in, and I thought, oh no, is he going to win this race after they've been winning, leading the whole race? But so he jumped in, got ahead of all of them for a minute, and then Petrucci got ahead of him, and then Marquez. So it was Petrucci, Marquez, Dovizioso, and then I look up, and Alex Rins is right there. So the entire last lap, all four of those guys, including Alex Rins, were within, you know, they were all right next to each other for the entire lap. And then I thought Rins was going to pass Dovizioso. And then I thought, and then at one point it looked like Dovizioso was going to pass Marquez. So if you did not see it, if nothing else, just go, I'm sure MotoGP will have that last lap where you can watch that for free if you don't have the MotoGP app, which is fantastic, by the way. It's really amazing. And, but yeah, it was an incredible race. And I wish we had budgeted our time a little better. We're talking to more, but we got to run. Thanks for everybody for tuning in. Thanks to Scott Dixon for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Check us out on our website. Tune in to our next weekend show for Formula One, and we'll talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all. Hey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.